Testing in the House Chamber, Legislative Day 153.
The House will come to order. Members will take their seats. The visitors will retire from the chamber. The sergeant at arms will close the doors. Members and guests are asked to please silence all electronic devices. This morning's prayer will be offered by Representative Dixon. We'd ask our members and our guests in the gallery to please stand for the prayer and to remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance thereafter. Representative Dixon.
Our kind Father in heaven, we pause for a moment prior to this session of the House and to the best of our ability give Thee thanks for the many wonderful blessings that we've enjoyed, for this magnificent facility, for those who keep it clean and presentable, for the staff, all of our staff here across the street who work so diligently to help us conduct the business of the people. We are very, very fortunate with these facilities and with the staff that we have. We're also fortunate as colleagues of this great House body for the energies and efforts that all of us as individuals have put forth, for the people that we represent, for the state that we love, for the nation that we revere, for the founding fathers who did a magnificent job. Heavenly Father, the torch of liberty and freedom is now ours. Bless our efforts to carry it well. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Gentleman from Caldwell, Representative Hall is recognized for a motion.
Mr. Speaker, the journal for November 3rd has been examined and found to be correct. I move that it be approved as written.
Representative Hall moves that the journal for November 3rd be approved as written. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it, and the journal is approved as written. Calendar Senate Bill 311. The clerk will read.
Conference report, Senate Bill 311, a bill to be entitled No Waiting Period Under Local Governmental Employees Retirement System, Volunteer Fire Department Fund Grants, the General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
The House will come to order. The gentleman from Randolph, Representative McNeil, is recognized to the to speak in third reading on the conference report adoption.
We appreciate a good green vote today. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, question for the House is the passage of Senate Bill 311 by way of the adoption of the conference report on third reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Blackwell, aye. Hannig, aye. Bowles, aye. Chair's going to give members, chair sees number of members coming in. We'll hold the vote up and let members vote. For our visitors, unlike your classroom, my members are not used to us starting on time. So letting them vote right now is a little bit of a hall pass. It's all right. Take your time. 10 seconds flies by so quickly. Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 110 having voted in the affirmative and none in the negative. Senate Bill 311 has been adopted on its third reading. And the chair orders that the Senate be notified. The chair did see Representative Sauls walk in right as I closed the vote. Representative Halls, the gentleman would like to vote. Please record Representative Sauls as an aye. Senate Bill 183, the clerk will read.
Conference Committee Substitute, Senate Bill 183, a bill to be entitled Ignition Interlock, Various Changes the General Assembly of North Carolina Enacts.
Gentleman from Columbus, Representative Jones, recognized for a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I do move that we concur with the Senate Bill 183 conference report.
Gentleman has moved that the House adopt the conference report to Senate Bill 183. Any further discussion or debate? If not, question for the House. Is the adoption of the conference report to Senate Bill 183? Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Zinger. Representative Zinger, aye. Representative Arp, Representative Lambeth, would the gentleman like to vote? Representative Austin, did the lady intend to be the only no vote? Just asking. Okay. Further discussion, or excuse me, any further votes before it looks like Representative Baker, Representative Sane, still not recorded. Chair does not see either member. Clerk Lock Machine record the vote. 112 having voted in the affirmative and none of the negative. The conference report to Senate Bill 183 is adopted by the House and the Senate will be so notified. Senate Bill 740. Clerk will read.
Senators Hayes, Daniel, and Newton. Senate Bill 740, a bill to be entitled Congressional Redistricting Plan 2021 CST 13, the General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Bill will be temporarily displaced. Let's go to Senate Bill 739. The clerk will read.
Senators Hayes, Daniel, and Newton. Senate Bill 739, a bill to be entitled Senate Redistricting Plan 2021 SBK 7, the General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Gentleman from Caldwell, Representative Hall, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, this is the State Senate proposed map that was drawn in the State Senate Committee. I'll tell the members that the Senate has passed our State House map this morning and have not made any changes. And historically, the bodies have not changed each other's maps in terms of State House and State Senate. And so I would ask you to approve this map. I'll speak briefly to the merits of this map. And I think one of the best pieces of information about this map is that they were able to really limit the split of municipalities in this map to 10. That's 10 total municipality splits out of 552 in North Carolina, or 1.8% of municipalities across the state. Additionally, there were a couple of Democratic amendments that were accepted into the map. And so ultimately, I would ask the members to vote yes on the State Senate map.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the adoption, or the passage rather, of Senate Bill 739 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Brody, Representative Sane, Brody, aye. Here's clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 64 having voted in the affirmative and 48 in the negative. Senate Bill 739 passes second reading and will be read a third time.
The General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Question for the House is the passage of Senate Bill 739 on third reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Gill, Chair sees Representative Baker, Representative Autry wish to vote. Is Representative Gill on the floor? Oh, there she is. Okay. Sane, aye. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 65 having voted in the affirmative and 49 in the negative. Senate Bill 739 passes its third reading. And the bill is ordered enrolled. Senate Bill 740, the clerk will read.
Strike that. Senate Bill 740 is back before the body. And actually, before the gentleman debates, the chair would like to extend the courtesies of the gallery on motion of the gentleman from Forsyth County, Representative Zinger. The chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to Cheryl Key, Allison Duncan, and their students who are here with us from the Redeemer School. Would you all please stand so we could recognize you and welcome you? Thanks for being with us today. Also on motion of Representative Meyer of Orange County, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to Mebane City Council member Sean Ewing. Sean, would you please stand so we can welcome you? Thanks for being here with us today, sir. Gentleman from Caldwell, Representative Hall, has the floor to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, I've said this before in this process, and I'm going to say it again, because I think it's important, it bears repeating, and that is that the 2021 redistricting process that's been undertaken by this body is an historic process. We have an unprecedented amount of transparency in this process, with every single district that was drawn done so in full public view with live audio and live video in the committee room. We also made the unprecedented and historic decision to voluntarily not use election data in the drawing of these maps. Maps have been being drawn by this state, by this body, for literally hundreds of years. And that has never happened voluntarily until now. When our committee has adopted criteria to say, we're not going to use election data. We're going to focus on traditional redistricting criteria. We're going to look at things like keeping counties whole, keeping municipalities whole, not splitting precincts or VTDs. And the result that you see of that is the maps that we've had before this body and the congressional map that you have before you now. I will say that I have been disappointed about the lack of involvement of the Democrats in drawing congressional maps in our committee room. Senate Democrats submitted proposed congressional maps. They spent time in the committee room drawing. And as far as I know, none of our members, unfortunately, participated in that process. Although I have learned that there's apparently an amendment this morning that I just learned about, but I think that it's essentially an amendment that was drafted by Senate Democrats. Members, as for the map itself that's before you today, I'll mention that the state house, the House and Senate have filed the same map. I filed the same map that you see before you today in the Senate, but for procedural purposes, we're using the map that was passed over by the Senate. The map before you and the one that I filed were both drafted in the Senate committee room, and I drew a separate map that was posted for the public to view before our public comment. But I ultimately decided that the map drawn in the Senate committee was a better map because, among other reasons, it splits fewer municipalities. Also, we heard from public comment that it was important to keep the finger counties, as they're called, in the Northeast together. So I advocated with the Senate chairs that change be made, and it was. And therefore, I felt that the map drawn in the Senate committee was ultimately the best member-submitted map that I saw. As I did with our state house map, I'm going to briefly go through the criteria the committee adopted and how it corresponds with the proposed map that's before you today. The first thing we tried to do was keep counties whole. Within the map, where counties could be kept whole, they are. In total, there are only 11 counties split, and that's done for equalizing population across the map, which, of course, is tougher to do because for Congress, you have to have zero deviation. You don't have that plus or minus 5% that you do on the state house and state senate maps. One of our criteria was to not split VTDs. And again, this is important. It's important to understand context. In 2011, there were many, many VTD splits across the map. In this map, there are only 24 total VTD splits for a statewide, for a congressional map, 24 VTD splits. That's it, across the entire map. This map honors municipal boundaries. Again, another very important note about this map is that there are only two total municipal splits in the entire congressional map. If you spend any time at all over in that committee room drafting, you know how hard that is to do. There are only two municipalities split in the entire congressional map. And that's Charlotte and that's Greensboro. Charlotte has to be split. It's got too much population. So we already have to have one in the map no matter what we do. And there's only one more across the entire map, and that's Greensboro. And still yet, over 90% of the city of Greensboro remains in one district. That is an incredible feat for a congressional map. Of course, every district in this map is contiguous. We looked at compactness. And again, despite not having an algorithm to use or somebody else using an algorithm, the map contains compact districts. And of course, we did not consider racial data. And as I said earlier, for the first time in the history of this state, we did not use election data. Members, the process that we've gone through has been a transparent one. Election data has not been used. Only traditional redistricting criteria has been used. And as I told you, the map before you only splits one more municipality than you absolutely have to anyway under this map. There are two total municipality splits, very few VTD splits. However you measure this thing under our criteria, this is a great map that meets our criteria that the committee's adopted. I hope you'll support this map.
Representative Reeves is recognized to send forth Amendment AST 73. The clerk will read.
Representative Reeves moves to amend the bill.
Gentleman from Chatham, Representative Reeves, is recognized to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And again, I will have to repeat, I don't think the lack of submissions on Democrats' part would indicate a lack of desire to be a part of the process. I would bet there are some Democrats that would have loved to have had more opportunity in the process. And I don't think that that opportunity comes from sitting and drawing maps that may not be considered. That is my opinion. With that being said, the amendment that we're offering today was offered in the Senate. So it has been in public view for a couple of weeks now. People have had a chance to look at it. They've had a chance to talk about it, to analyze it. So because none of us are using partisan data or anything of that sort, we have to depend on what outside groups have looked at. One of those groups is the Princeton Gerrymandering Project. And the congressional map that we're being asked to vote on today rated an F with that particular process. Specifically, they cite that there's a 21.4% Republican partisan bias, which measures how much Republicans would overperform on this map in a 50-50 race statewide. That clearly would indicate that there is a partisan bias to this congressional map. The amendment that I'm presenting would get a fairness grade of A. Benefits neither party. It is completely fair. An analysis from the website 538 indicates that the congressional map that's being submitted by the Senate results in 10 seats leaning towards Republican, one very competitive seat, and three seats that lean towards Democrats. That generates an efficiency gap of 20.1% favoring Republicans, which is the difference. An efficiency gap is the difference between each party's wasted votes. 8% is considered a bad sign. On the other hand, this amendment would result in 6 Republican-leaning seats, 4 Democratic-leaning seats, and 4 highly competitive seats, more reflecting of what North Carolina looks like today. And this map would only have a 5.8% efficiency gap. So in the sense of what we're trying to do and what we're trying to present, and I think you can feel good about voting for this amendment because this is a congressional map that came from the Senate, so it's not a situation where the House has been involved. And I know the guys like to vote against the Senate, so this would be a great opportunity to show the Senate that they did the wrong thing here, and I'd ask you to support the amendment.
For what purpose, gentlemen from Guilford, Representative Quickrice.
To debate the amendment.
The gentleman has the floor.
I stand in support of the amendment as a representative from Guilford County. I've sat here and heard some very curious congratulatory remarks about keeping counties whole when the third largest county in North Carolina was split into three districts on the original bill. Guilford County has enough citizens to be two-thirds of a congressional district by itself and deserves to have representation that focuses on the issues of the third largest county in this state. This amendment would keep Guilford County whole, and I ask you to support the amendment on behalf of the citizens of the third largest county in the state of North Carolina.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Caldwell, Representative Hall, rise?
To debate the amendment.
The gentleman has the floor.
Members, as I previously said about the amendment, I didn't see it until just a few minutes ago when I came in and sat down, so of course I haven't had time to sit out and analyze the map, but in the limited time that I have had, I already noticed right off the bat that this map would split the finger counties in the Northeast that we heard so much about in public comment, wanting to keep those together. It splits more municipalities. Again, the map that I have before you splits only two municipalities across the state, and this amendment would split more counties. So again, in a very limited amount of time, we can clearly see that this map, the amendment that is, does not comply as well with our criteria as our base map does, and I'd ask you to vote down the amendment.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the adoption of Amendment A1, sent forward by Representative Reeves. Those in favor of the amendment will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. The clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 47 having voted in the affirmative and 67 in the negative, the amendment is not adopted. For what purpose does the lady from Guilford, Representative Harrison, rise?
To debate the bill.
The lady has the floor to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I don't want to repeat too much of what I said on Tuesday about the public process, but I know we keep bragging about the great public process and transparency that went on with redistricting, but I think the public did not feel like it was a very friendly public process, nor did they feel that it was very accessible, nor did they feel that it was very transparent. The public hearings, we heard some strong, first of all, we didn't have a public hearing in Guilford County, the third largest county in the state. Those individuals felt strongly about how the Guilford County map should look, went to Forsyth and Alamance and other places and online to make their comments heard. And what we heard resoundingly was keep Guilford County whole. Keep the Piedmont Triad whole. It's the Piedmont Triad. It's High Point, it's Greensboro, it's Winston-Salem. I heard Senator Daniels say yesterday when he was talking about the 5th District in Wake County, this is where the constituents there worship, play, commute, and work together. Well, that's the same thing that you would say about the Piedmont Triad, but there's no real justification for splitting up that county. It's crazy how one part of it runs from downtown Greensboro to the Tennessee border, picks up Virginia Fox's precinct in Blowing Rock, and I curiously noticed the only thing that district has in county is my great-grandfather, Julian Price. The Jefferson Standard Building, he hired the architect for that, is in downtown Greensboro. The district runs by his house in Fisher Park, and then it goes out to Price Park in Blowing Rock, which used to be his land, but it's now part of the National Park Service. But there's very little in common about this proposed Congressional District 11. Then you have this other part that goes from eastern Greensboro and some of those smaller municipalities in the county down to Harnett and Lee. And then the other part goes down through Davie and Cabarrus, and there's just very little in common with these areas. And I think this particular congressional grouping is the worst example of not keeping communities of interest together or keeping municipalities together. And furthermore, it's worth noting, I know we've had some dispute about the necessity of compliance with the Voting Rights Act and the ruling in Covington, but I think that the splitting up of the African-American populations in Guilford County into three different congressional districts is really problematical, and we were warned of that by the lawyers early on in August at the very first public hearing, that we needed to take into account these populations when we were drawing these maps. We neither did a racial voting polarization study, nor did we draw these VRA districts first, and I think that's going to be a problem for us. The did some statistics. I can't verify that only that 90% of Greensboro feels whole. I don't feel like it feels very whole, but I will say the county doesn't feel very whole. We've got 60% of it in one district, 26% in another district, and then 14% in another district. And I think the cracking of the African American vote is a real problem. I know that there are other urban counties that were split up, and the same thing happened with African American population in those counties. And those were more necessary because of their populations, but we did not need to split up Guilford County. So we heard very strong public commentary not to split it up before we drew the maps. Then after the maps were drawn, people came and told us to please keep the Piedmont Triad whole, and we seem to have ignored that public comment. I feel like this was very arbitrary about how the public comment was important in drawing some congressional districts, but not in others. But boy, they did not listen to the public comment when they were drawing the Guilford County districts. I made the point, which I thought was interesting, when I was reviewing the comments that had been made on the days that we heard about the congressional district hearing, which I think was Monday a week ago, which I think are very telling. And I will note that these were bipartisan comments. We heard from Republicans and Democrats. We heard from retirees. I remember there was a farmer in Alamance County who spoke, a retired sheriff. These are some of the comments they made about the congressional map. Ludicrous, racially unfair, grossly partisan, disconnected, scary, undemocratic, dishonest, confusing. That is something that I am not proud of, and I can't believe any of us would be proud of in voting for this map today. This is a gross gerrymander. It appears to be a very gross partisan gerrymander. It looks like we have violated the Voting Rights Act in drawing these districts. This is wrong. We can do better. I urge you to vote no. Thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Guilford, Representative Quick, rise?
To debate the bill.
The gentleman has the floor.
Joining in with my colleague from Guilford County and agreeing with everything that she just said, I also would like to keep this body reminded of an earlier court warning and chastising of us about targeting African Americans with surgical precision. I think a reasonable argument can be made in Greensboro and Guilford County that the African American population there again feels targeted with surgical precision, and I would ask that you vote no.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Durham, Representative Hawkins, rise?
To debate the bill.
The gentleman has the floor.
I want to thank all my colleagues for their remarks, and I just want to add on three specific pieces. Specifically for the Watauga to Guilford County congressional draw, what is going to stick out to people for this, and this is again reasons that I join my colleagues in asking you to vote no and reconsider, is that it seems deliberate that those places were, especially Greensboro, was chose to be split, and there was a deliberate choice on who to double bunk. And so if you look at the going from Caldwell and, maneuvering into Watauga County to go get Appalachian State and Blowing Rock, that was a deliberate draw so that on the other side of it, in Guilford County, that particular congressional member was double bunked with someone else. And so those intentional decisions, those surgical precisions, are going to stick out to voters. And I hope that we are not having to redraw multiple times this decade, but decisions like that are going to lead us down that path. Secondly, the largest county in the state that borders Durham County, Wake County, was split multiple times. Wake County on its own, I think we all know, has the ability to hold at least one congressional district on its own, and then the remainder of it can be placed alongside other counties that are less populated. And this, it seems that the way that this was drawn allows for a dilution of the impact of that county. And one would only have to draw the direct correlation that is done for partisan reasons. And again, just sharing reasons why we should vote no and reconsider, because again, we don't want to have to do this multiple times. And lastly, and this was in some of the questioning in committee with the senator that was presenting, that with the use of criteria, it seemed that weight was placed inconsistently, but sometimes it seemed like it was strategic, depending on what district was being drawn. And so when, as a legislator, I want to be able to walk my constituents through this map and tell them sort of how decisions were made. And when I can't have a consistent answer on how the criteria were weighed district by district, or did we use the same sort of weight and system and ranking as we went across the state, if I can't have that conversation with them, if you can't walk your constituent through that and how that criteria was used, then this map is not worth the paper it was printed on. And so I want to make sure that, again, the goal is that as a member of the redistricting committee, we want to do this once, and we will revisit it in 2030. But when those, the things that I've just outlined are just crystal clear to the majority of us, we need to make sure that we think about this, take our time, slow down, and make better maps. And so I ask you to join with my colleagues in voting no. But as always, to the chairman, thank you for your hard work.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Chatham, Representative Reeves, rise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. That's to debate the bill. The
gentleman has the floor.
Thank you. I think all of us agree on one thing, that the most important result of this vote is that folks have faith in this process, that voters walk out of here and feel like that they were represented, that they had their views heard and had concerns made clear, and that they feel like that they're in a situation where they have fair maps. I think that we can look at outside groups that have looked at these maps and say that there are probably going to be a lot of voters who feel like that's not what happened. I think to look at the congressional map and see what results, according to experts that have looked at this map, a map that gives us 10 Republican seats, 3 Democratic seats, 1 very competitive seat, to me is fairly unbelievable if you say that that represents North Carolina. A map that splits up Wake, Meck, Guilford in the ways that it does, I think, again, is fairly unbelievable that people are going to think that that's a fair map. We had a group from Duke that looked at this map, and they ran tens of thousands of computer simulations. And according to their simulations, they found that this congressional map was a statistical anomaly. They made tens of thousands of maps just following our criteria, not using racial data, not using partisan data. And after running tens of thousands of simulations, all of those maps that they were running generally elected fewer Republicans than the version that's presented to us today. That means something. And that should mean something beyond worrying about who gets what advantage or anything of that sort, but it should mean something in the sense of whatever process we had, whatever intent there was, that we shouldn't want a map that has those type of problems and has that type of reflection. The amendment I offered before actually split fewer voter districts. Instead of 24, it split 14. Made the districts more compact with Riot scores of 45 compared to 42, Polsby Popper of 36 compared to 30. Kept communities of interest together, created a Sand Hills congressional district for those of us that are originally from down that way, understanding how important that is. Again, gave Guilford what it would feel would be true representation. So ultimately what I would say is we've got an opportunity just to do things better. House maps are done. Senate maps are done. The congressional map's a whole different ballgame. And I would say out of the 3 maps, what you have seen from outside analysis is the congressional map seems to be the worst at doing the things that people are concerned about. And that has nothing to do with process. That has nothing to do with intent. Ultimately, it's about the final result. And because of that final result, this is something we need to go back and revisit. All of us are tired of looking at maps. All of us are tired of going through this. I understand that. But I think it would be good, as one of the accomplishments that we have coming out of this biennium, is to serve notice to the rest of the country that this can get done in the right way. We have led on other issues. This would be an outstanding issue for us to lead on. And I think we're missing that opportunity. And I don't know why we're missing that opportunity. I don't know why we're not taking it, but we're not. But I really, 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 personally, I know, would love to see us move in a different direction, change the way that we do things, and try to be better. Again, going back to the amendment that was offered, that amendment still allowed for a Republican advantage. You can still draw maps that have a Republican advantage without presenting this type of advantage, which is going to make the most considerate of us raise an eyebrow in concern. So please consider voting no.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Caldwell, Representative Hall, rise?
Debate the bill a second time. The
gentleman has the floor.
Members, I'm taken aback when I hear folks say that the Democrats wish that they had more involvement in this process. I've been here when the maps were drawn outside of this building, and they were brought in, and you were essentially shown what the map was going to look like, and we just voted on it. And that's the way things were done for probably 150 years or so under mostly Democrats, but then, of course, Republicans for the first part of the last decade. You didn't have much input. You certainly didn't have the ability to sit down in public and draw maps with members of both parties. That didn't happen this time around. As we've said, and as everyone knows, we voluntarily chose to do it out in public and not use election data, even though the law doesn't require us to do that. We chose to do that because that's the right thing to do. We did that. This body did that. None of the previous bodies in the last 150 or 200 years, this General Assembly chose to do that. And that committee room has been open since October the 6th. I've been in there most of the time since October the 6th, and so I know who was there. And I didn't see a whole lot of my friends on the Democratic side. And that's unfortunate, because in 2019 I did. When we drew those maps in 2019, you saw a lot of computer terminals where Democrats and Republicans were sitting there together. In fact, I got to know some of you that I didn't know very well through that process. That was available to everybody this time around. And I don't know why some chose not to do that. I've got some suspicions, but again, I don't question people's intent. We don't have a proposed alternative congressional map from House Democrats. And so ultimately, it's a process argument that's being made. And we've heard a whole lot also about outcomes and these outside groups and the way that they've rated these maps. I've intentionally not looked at any of that stuff. I'm not considering political data, electoral data, in the drafting of these maps. So I have no idea what their outcome is going to be. But ultimately, if you have a process where you don't consider election data, a process that's done out in the open, in video, with full audio for the world to see, and you only consider traditional criteria like keeping cities and counties whole, and if you still don't like the outcome of what comes out of that, perhaps the problem is not the process or these maps. Perhaps the problem is your ideas.
Further discussion, further debate. For what purpose does the lady from Pitt, Representative Smith, rise?
I would rise to ask a question
of
the bill sponsor.
Representative Hall, does the gentleman yield?
I yield.
He yields.
My question is, can you clarify that last statement? Because I'm confused now. The very last statement that you made about the ideas. So can you just clarify that for me?
I'll do my best to clarify for
you. I appreciate it.
And what I said was, this is the most transparent process in the history of this state. We voluntarily did not use election data. I do not know the outcome of these maps. But if you don't like that outcome, again, perhaps the problem is not the process of this. Perhaps it's not the maps themselves. but perhaps it's the ideas that you're putting forth to the public.
Okay, can I please debate the bill, Mr. Speaker?
Well, he's recognized to debate the bill.
Okay. So, I'm breathing, because that's important. I just want to make sure that we're clear. There's been so many options of things been put forth to this body throughout this entire session, and they have been ignored. And so to hear someone get up and praise themselves for the work they've done independently versus working collectively is already a red flag. It appears that there's an attack on the African-American vote, but there's no concern for that. It's important to know that people are supposed to elect us and not the other way around, but we see where we're headed. When I look at these congressional maps, when I look at the House maps, all of them reek of just, they stink because there's something wrong with them. I've been hearing so much about transparency. If we had truly had transparency, when we had those meetings ahead of time with no maps that we wasted the people's time, we would have had those meetings after these maps. But we know what we would have heard. People don't want gerrymandering. That's what we have. People don't want us packing. That's what we're doing. People don't want to separate individuals of the same interests. That's what we're doing. But we have so many individuals who feel like they're the only ones that's right. So to go into a room and to draw a map that you're going to vote down and to stand on the floor and begin to say everything that I received was at the last minute. Well, that's really what's happened this entire session. From the budget on down, everything was the last minute. And now we're going to say, I am so disappointed in Democrats because it's the lack of participation of the last minute. That's what we've been experiencing. That's unfortunate. And to go back and say that we're working across aisles, that is untrue. So if we're going to really listen to the people, we should be listening to the people. Transparency of having a camera in a room that you're not doing the work in that room and you're doing that work in another room and then you come to this room and say, oh, here it is, that's not good. So I urge everyone to please make sure that we vote these down. And then we need to make sure the people do what they need to do to vote on individuals who want to be a voice and represent them and listen to them and make sure that we're representing the people. It is not about us. It's about the people. Thank you. Please vote no.
For what purpose, gentlemen from Guilford? Representative Quickrise.
To speak to the bill a second time.
The gentleman has the floor.
With all due respect to my friend, the chairman, in a state with 36% of registered voters are Democrats approximately, 33% of registered voters are unaffiliated approximately, and 30% are registered Republicans approximately, and yet a congressional map has the probability of electing 10 Republicans and 3 Democrats. I don't think it's an idea problem. I think it's a map drawing problem. And I wonder how many Republicans, well, you criticize Democrats for not drawing maps, how many Republicans actually drew maps? Please vote no for this map.
Further discussion, further debate. If not, the question for the House is the passage of Senate Bill 740 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 65 having voted in the affirmative and 49 in the negative. Senate Bill 740 passes at second reading and will be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the passage of Senate Bill 740 on third reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 65 having voted in the affirmative and 49 of the negative. Senate Bill 740
passes its third reading, and the bill is ordered enrolled. Chair sees some lights. We are looking at possibly adding one more bill. I want members to get to take a look at it. It's a conference report. Representative Brody is recognized to send forth a conference report. The clerk will read.
To the President of the Senate, Speaker of the House of Representatives. The conferees appointed to resolve the differences between the Senate and the House of Representatives on Senate Bill 308, a bill to be entitled An Act to Prevent Delay in the Issuance of Temporary Certificates of Occupancy, to clarify electric wire requirement references, to modify one- and two-family dwelling residential development, fire apparatus access road requirements, and to expand authority to counties to sell abandoned cemeteries. House Committee Substitute Favorable, October 20th, 2021, submit the following report. The conferees recommend that the Senate and the House of Representatives adopt this report. Date conferees approve the report, November 4th, 2021. Conferees for the Senate, Senator Johnson Chair, Senators Harrington and Senators Woodard. Conferees for the House of Representatives, Representative Brody Chair, Representative Hunter, and Representative Hanning.
Calendar. This looks like this was sent. This the conference for the House for Brody, Representative Howard Hunter, Representative Bobby Hanning. Chair will go ahead without objection, add to today's calendar, but if members decide they want to move it, that'll be fine. But since we're not taking any votes next week, this was one that was just kind of still out there. So at this time, calendar, and I'll give a few moments or some lights on for members to take a look and see if there's any objection to proceeding with it today. For what purpose does the lady from Guilford, Representative Harrison, rise?
I'd like to be recorded as an aye on the Reeves Amendment on Senate Bill 740, please.
The lady will be recorded as having voted aye on the Reeves Amendment. For what purpose does the gentleman from Mecklenburg, Representative Alter, rise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to be recorded as voting aye on Amendment A1 for Senate Bill 740, please.
The gentleman will also be recorded as having voted aye on Amendment A1. For what purpose, the lady from Wake, Representative Dahl, rise?
I would like to object to the last bill being added to the calendar so that we could have time to read it and review it, because I know that those conference changes may have changed the actual bill.
I haven't called it yet, just to give members a few moments to look at and see if it's going to be something that I noticed it was a bipartisan conference committee as well. So if we don't get to it today, it's not a terrible thing, but I think some of the changes may be relatively minor. Why don't we determine that and we'll come back to it. While that's being sorted out, just a couple of things that the chair would like to comment on. One, appreciate the body's hard work this week in getting through the redistricting process, but also the other matters. Secondly, next week we will not be having any recorded votes at all. And so it is the chair's hope, however, that the week that we come back the following week, that we will be in a position to give adoption to a budget that week. So I know that conversations are ongoing among numerous parties to see if we can get there, and hopefully we'll be able to get to that point very soon. But that is the plan. In terms of that following week, don't know precisely which days that we would be here. Just looking at a calendar here. But that is the week of the 15th. Presumably we would be looking at a Wednesday session on that week. I would say members should certainly be prepared for votes on Wednesday and possibly on Tuesday, possibly the 18th as well. So don't know exactly. Wish I could give you more, because it just depends, frankly, how long the process takes and where we are. But again, next week, no votes at all. The following week, if we're having votes, that's a good sign. For what purpose does the gentleman from Wake, Representative John, rise?
Point of personal privilege.
The gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, 5 years ago, almost to this very day, my seatmate and I were elected to this body. And have been seatmates since that time, moved from the second row from the end back there up to our present locations. During that 5-year period of time, praise be, we've not been in session on November 3rd, except for yesterday. We had a fairly complicated session yesterday. We had a redistricting bill, had a couple of court-related bills that I was trying to get clarification on. I've talked to two or three of the members on the other side, and before I knew it, bang, we were adjourned before I had taken the opportunity to speak to the significance of November 3rd. So I ask your help, bipartisan, nonpartisan, across the board, in acknowledging that yesterday our colleague, my seatmate, Representative Cynthia Ball, celebrated her birthday, and please acknowledge that. Thank you very much.
Happy birthday. What purpose does the gentleman from Durham, Representative Hawkins, rise?
Inquiry of the chair.
Gentleman's recognized.
Mr. Chairman, thank you for that update related to the voting schedule. But generally what you've done is shared a little bit of a budget update with the body. Would you indulge us in letting us know sort of how things are moving forward?
That's about all I can tell you right there. It's just negotiations back and forth to try to get close. There's conversations happening with the governor. There's conversations happening with members of both bodies to see where we can get to.
Thank you. I'd like to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Absolutely. The gentleman has the floor.
Thank you. As many of you know, it is the month of November. In addition to it sounding like we potentially may be out of here, instead of being here past Turkey Day, that's a good thing. It is also what they call No Shave November. And I have participated in this in a while because a few years ago my dad was diagnosed with cancer but beat it, testicular, and I every year go without shaving to raise awareness about cancer but also about men's health. And so I want to make sure that this body has a good number of men here, and so I want to make sure that you take your health seriously. Make sure that you're getting your checkups. Make sure that you are doing what you need to do to make sure that you are able not only to serve but be there for your families, because it's incredibly important. I also, if you would like to join me in No Shave November, the only rule is that you don't shave for the month of November. How easy is that? And so it invokes conversations, it educates, it informs people about men's health, but also about specific cancer awareness. And so I wanted to rise and share that with the body, because it's something that we can all relate to. It is not partisan. It is not cameral. It's not anything else other than making sure that folks are here. And so I see that Brendan Jones is rubbing his face. Representative Brendan Jones is rubbing his face. So I think he was the first one to join me. So if others would like to do the same, I'd love to have you. Again, please take care of yourselves. Thank you.
There. For what purpose does the gentleman from Chowan, Representative Goodwin, rise?
Speak to a point of personal privilege.
The gentleman has the floor.
Well, since we find out we will not be here next week, November 11th is a special day. I think all of you know why it's special to me, because I've spoke about it in the past. So what I want to do, if you're a veteran, please stand. If that's allowed, Mr. Speaker.
That is absolutely permitted.
Thank you for not challenging that. If you have a family, wait. If you have a family member that is a veteran, stand. If you know a veteran, stand up. Now, you have honored the men and women who give us the right to come in here and argue with each other, be civil, or be contrary. They paid a price for us to do that. Every time I come in this chamber, I think about that. especially I look around at the ones I know who are veterans, and I think about that. Never let that leave our hearts and our souls. It's important to us. Thank you.
Thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Beaufort, Representative Kidwell, rise?
Point of personal privilege.
Gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Tomorrow, my youngest grandson, Julian, will hit what I recall as being a milestone birthday. Yes, I can remember back that far. He will hit the age of 13. So we will now have three teenage grandchildren and one seven-year-old that's just kind of bringing up the rear. So I want to say a very happy birthday to Julian Kidwell. May you enjoy it and be the young man that we know you're going to be and take this world by storm.
Thank you. For what purpose delay from... For what purpose does the lady from Wake, Representative Dahl, rise?
Inquiry of the chair.
Ladies recognized.
Did I file an objection or have we not read it in? Because if I did, I want to withdraw it.
I'd already put it on the calendar, so we're there, and I'm going to let members take a look, see if anybody else has any questions or wants to not take it up. But thank you. Noted. For what purpose does the gentleman from Harnett, Representative Penny, rise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Point of personal privilege.
The gentleman has the floor.
Prior to coming into session today, I had a group of homeschool students from Harnett County who came in, and they were questioning about how it works to be here in the House and the process we follow. And I talked to them about decorum, and I would like to thank all the members, including my colleagues on the opposite side of the aisle, because of the decorum, as I explain how we have debate, and our debate is civil debate. And I think today was a great illustration. I don't know that they're still here because they were going over to the Senate also. But if they are here, I would like to recognize the homeschoolers from Harnett County. But I'm afraid they may be over on the Senate side by now. But I think today was a great example. Even though we had a difference of opinion, our decorum, I think, was what the people and the students in particular, if they are here or watching, realize we debated, we disagreed, but we did it with civility. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Members, if there are no members who are wishing to remove the bill from the calendar, the chair is prepared to call up Senate Bill 308. So seeing none, the Senate Bill 308, clerk will read.
Conference report, Senate Bill 308. Various building code amendments, the General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Gentleman from Union, Representative Brody, is recognized for a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that we concur with the Senate.
The gentleman has moved that the House adopt the conference report sent forward as to Senate Bill 308, and the gentleman has the floor to debate the bill.
Thank you, members. We passed this bill, I believe, last week. It went over to Senate, it passed, but there was one provision that staff kind of raised the flag on, was one dealing with cemeteries. So just to make matters simple, we removed that provision on cemetery, so basically now it deals with strictly the three building issues. And I'll stand for any questions if you want. Thank you, Mr.
For what purpose, gentleman from Pitt, Representative Farkas, rise.
Question of the bill sponsor, please.
Representative Brody, gentleman yield?
Yes, sir.
He yields.
Wouldn't be a building code issue if I wasn't asking you a question, Representative yeah. Brody, so I appreciate your time. On page one of this report, lines 24 to 28, it says, when a subsequent inspection is conducted to verify completion or correction of instances of code noncompliance, any additional violations of the code noted by the inspector on items already approved by the inspections department shall not delay the issuance of a temporary certificate. I'm just trying to make sure I've got some clarification on that, Representative Brody. Could you flesh that out a little bit more on what that means, please?
Sure. There are actually 2 points. That one is a not impose a reinspection fee, meaning that the inspectors are required to try to catch everything they can. If the municipality decides to charge a fee, they can charge it. But if they miss something, they still have to do the reinspection and the cure the violation, but they can't charge a fee for that. The other is for temporary occupancy. Most of the times you don't see a temporary occupancy permit given for residential. You'll see a lot more in commercial. For example, if there is something that was a violation, but you're dealing with a retail outlet that wants to stock shelves or something, or put in desks or something like that, that they won't hold up that temporary CO, meaning that they can start doing the finish work, even unless the, of course, the violation concerns that.
For what purpose does the lady from New Hanover, Representative Butler, rise?
Inquiry of the bill sponsor.
Representative Brody, is the gentleman yield?
Yes, I'm not the bill sponsor, but yes.
I thought I understood you to say that the cemetery portion had been removed, but I believe I'm reading that. Are you aware that's still part of the bill at the very end? I don't know whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, but I was wondering if you could address it.
Well, we just signed the conference report that removed it. I can't speak to if this actually, have they actually done it yet in the computer, but it's meant to be removed.
Representative Butler, the clerk was presenting the bill. What we're looking at doesn't have it. Just want to make sure the lady's looking at the correct document. I think staff, I see Ms. Churchill there. You may have been looking at an older version, possibly. Okay. It's the PCS committee substitute. It looks like that has been, you know, that appears that what Representative Brody says is correct, that all that provision's out. For what purpose does the lady from Buncombe, Representative Fisher, rise?
To ask the motion maker a question.
For Representative Brody's gentleman yield?
Yes, I do.
Thank you, Representative Brody. The portion of the bill that has to do with fire code and spacing of fire equipment apparatus in, I guess, neighborhoods or communities where there are single-family dwellings, could you address that part of the bill and tell me what is different there?
Oh, yes. What we're seeing now more and more is that the parcels of land that are being developed are getting smaller and kind of odder shaped. So what happened was the fire service, as well as some of the other stakeholders, had said earlier in the year that we are going to review what's called Appendix B of the code, which has a number of fire issues. Remember, just a little while back, we had the issue with the sprinkler, in-house sprinklers. We passed a provision that kind of halts that because of the fact that we are actually working to redo Appendix B. This is a temporary fix until the new rules get adapted by the Building Code Council. And basically what it says is that you have to consider the shape of the lot before you can put in multiple entrances. Some parcels don't even allow for multiple entrances. For example, if you have a 100-foot entrance in, there's no possibility to have multiple entrances. But they're working on correcting that, but it's just got to that point where the parcels are starting to get a bit more odd-shaped, and they're trying to address that issue.
Further discussion, further debate. For what purpose does the lady from Durham, Representative Morey, rise?
To ask the bill presenter a question.
Representative Brody, is the gentleman yield?
Yes.
Yes. I know nothing about this, and we're just reading this for the first time. On page 2, lines 13, 14, I'm just reading, in the event there is no legally appointed inspector or inspection department with jurisdiction over the property, subsections A and B of the section have no force or effect. So does that mean if there is no inspector, none of this applies?
Well, first of all, there's always an inspector. It might bounce to Department of Insurance if there's no inspector, but every parcel or thing that requires addressed by the code has an inspection. But you get a little bit more in detail on this, but there is an inspection on everything that deals with code. This may be something like they have one inspector and they're not there or something like that, but basically everything gets inspected.
Just a follow-up.
Gentleman yields.
Thank you, Representative Brody, and that makes total sense. That's why I don't understand why lines 12 through 14 would be in there about no inspector available or appointed, and then nothing would imply with the requirements. I mean, does that language need to come out?
Excuse me, this caught me, adding this today, it caught me by surprise, so I'm going back at this. I guess, Mr. Speaker, I know there's an answer for it, but I don't have it on tip of my tongue. If you want to withdraw this, and we can have an answer for her, or if we don't have any more bills today.
Yeah, that's right. Representative Arp turned his light on. Maybe he can speak to it. I'll be glad to. For what purpose, the gentleman from Union, Representative Arp, rise?
I try and attempt to address the issue.
Gentleman's recognized to debate the.
Again, if you read the construction of it, this is existing law, and what the changes actually in here are conforming changes that reference item A and B up above rather than the two sentences below. This is not new. This is a revision of really for conformance. It's not a new concept or anything. It just, and I'm with Representative Brody. I don't know of any case where construction through an issued permit is not inspected. We have issues where there's not a building permit, and therefore there's no inspections related to that. But the others don't apply if there's no building permit issue and there's no subsequent inspection because there's no building permit. But the rest of it is just conforming changes.
Ms. Churchill, could the lady step to the dais? I'm just going to ask staff what I think may be going on in this case. Representative Morey, I don't want to say it till I find out, is that the lady may be looking at existing statute, and then the other language is what would be there. So it may not be affecting it. It may just be in there for context to read the bill. But we'll find out. Representative Morey, I just checked with Ms. Churchill. What she confirmed was exactly what I was just saying. The language that you were asking about is current law, and there's no changes being made to that. The only thing, there's just conforming changes around it, so there's no substantive change to that provision at all. So, for what purpose does the gentleman from Pitt, Representative Farkas, rise?
Another question of Representative Brody. My apologies for holding us up here if he's available.
Representative Brody, gentlemen, yield?
Yes, sir.
He yields.
Thank you. Representative Brody, following up on my question, feels like ages ago now, about the reinspection process. As I'm reading this, my understanding is for a one or two family dwelling, if an inspector were to go in and they identify some issues, and then on the reinspection, he or she is addressing those, but then picks up and sees and identifies something else. The way I read this is that he can't or she can't slow down the process again. Is that correct? Because we're moving from a, they may delay the issuance of her temporary certificate of occupancy to a shall not. And that is, to me, significant. Is that what's happening here?
That is the correction that the Senate made, yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you.
I think the next time we do a building code law, we're going to do it with live streaming and set a room aside with terminals where you all can draft these statutes. For what purpose does the lady from Mecklenburg, Representative Cunningham, rise?
To ask Representative Brody a question.
Representative Brody, gentlemen yield.
Yes, sir.
He yields.
I'm right here, Representative Brody. Thank you so much. One of the things about the reinspections and having that pool of inspectors was one of the issues we addressed the last cycle. Is that not correct?
That's correct.
So even if a jurisdiction does not have their own inspection team, we go to the pool and pool those inspectors. Is that not correct?
That's correct. That was one of the issues, especially when inspectors are falling behind, they got too busy. They can tap into a pool that we set up through DOI.
Thank you so much.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the adoption of the conference report to Senate Bill 308. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Reeves, Representative Quick, wish to vote? Is Representative Reeves on the floor? Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 95 having voted in the affirmative and 17 in the negative. The conference report to Senate Bill 308 is adopted and the Senate will be so notified. Representative Warren is recognized to send forth a representative statement that will be read upon adjournment and spread across the journal. And the gentleman has the floor to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, each Tuesday afternoon, the Christiana Lutheran Church in Rowan County makes its fellowship hall available for a lunch for veterans. And I've had the opportunity to go there many times when I'm in Rowan County, back home in the district, to meet a lot of our military heroes, the men and women who have served in various conflicts we've had around the world. And I had the opportunity to meet a gentleman, Sergeant Coy Thompson, and I'd like to read a representative statement honoring Sergeant Coy Thompson. Whereas Sergeant Coy Thompson served in the U.S. Army during the Vietnam War with honor and distinction, supporting ground forces through aerial assets as crew chief. During the Tet Offensive, Sergeant Thompson was near an explosion that injured him with shrapnel. As a result, Sergeant Thompson was awarded the Purple Heart. And whereas after returning to the United States, Sergeant Thompson was awarded the Air Medal for actions in support of operations against enemy forces, but his accolades did not end there. And whereas Sergeant Thompson was awarded the Bronze Star Medal and a Silver Star for actions in support of ground forces during the Vietnam War, in one action, Sergeant Thompson, as a crew chief, was part of a helicopter mission that rescued countless American soldiers during heavy contact with the enemy. This action resulted in the recommendation of award upgrade to the Medal of Honor. And whereas Sergeant Coy Thompson has been recognized by his community, his place of worship, and on the floor of Congress for his contributions and sacrifices to the people of Rowan County, North Carolina, and the United States, Sergeant Thompson is a pillar of the veteran community in Rowan County, and his sacrifice and service has not gone unnoticed. Now, therefore, Sergeant Coy Thompson deserves to be recognized and honored for his dedication and patriotism to the United States of America.
Thank you. Further notices or announcements? Seeing none, the gentleman from Caldwell, Representative Hall, is recognized for a motion.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House to now adjourn to reconvene Monday, November 8th at 10 a.m., subject to the standard stipulation set forth in Rule 15.1.
Representative Hall moves, seconded by Representative Blackwell, that the House do now adjourn to reconvene Monday, November 8th at 10 a.m., subject to the standard stipulations set forth in Rule 15.1. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The House stands adjourned. Hey, man. Thank you. I'm glad you pointed that out. That was good. Yeah, I like that.
Representative Saul is recognized to send forth the committee report. Senate Bill 688 from the Commerce Committee. Sports wagering, favorable and re-referred. Senate Bill 688 being favorable will be re-referred to the Committee on Judiciary 1.
Special message from the Senate. November 4th, 2021, Mr. Speaker, it is ordered that a message be sent to the House of Representatives with the information that the Senate adopts support of the conferees for House Bill 404, Conference Committee Substitute, a bill to be entitled an act providing that public safety answering points, regional public safety answering points, and their employees and agents and employees of law enforcement agencies are not liable for damages in a civil action except in cases of gross negligence and wanton or willful misconduct, or when there is adequate insurance coverage, and making technical corrections to Session Law 2021-171, the No Patient Left Alone Act. When the appropriate action has been taken by both chambers, the bill will be ordered and rolled. Respectfully, Sarah Holland, Principal Clerk.
Noted in House Bill 404 will be ordered and rolled and sent to the Governor by a special message. Clerk will continue.
Senate Chamber, November 4th, 2021, special message from the Senate. Mr. Speaker, it is ordered that a message be sent to the House of Representatives with the information that the Senate adopts a report of the conferees for Senate Bill 311, conference report, a bill to be entitled an act prohibiting membership waiting periods for eligible employees under the local government employees retirement system, updating the volunteer fire department fund, matching requirements, and giving the board of trustees of the local government employees retirement system the discretionary authority to provide one-time pension supplements to its members and to reduce the SUTA tax rate for 2022 when the appropriate action has been taken by both chambers. The bill will be ordered and rolled. Respectfully, Sarah Holland, Principal Clerk.
Noted. Reading of a representative statement.
A representative statement honoring Sergeant Coy Thompson. Whereas Sergeant Coy Thompson served in the U.S. Army during the Vietnam War with honor and distinction supporting ground forces through aerial assets as chief crew chief during the Tet Offensive, Sergeant Thompson was near an explosion that injured him with shrapnel. As a result, Sergeant Thompson was awarded the Purple Heart, and whereas after returning to the United States, Sergeant Thompson was awarded the Air Medal for actions in support of operations against enemy forces, but his accolades did not end there, and whereas Sergeant Thompson was awarded the Bronze Star Medal and a Silver Star for actions in support of ground forces during the Vietnam War, and one action, Sergeant Thompson, as a crew chief, was part of the helicopter mission that rescued countless Americans during heavy contact with the enemy. This action resulted in the recommendation of award upgrade to the Medal of Honor, and whereas Sergeant Coy Thompson has been recognized by his community, his place of worship, and on the floor of Congress for his contributions and sacrifices to the people of Rowan County, North Carolina, and the United States, Sergeant Thompson is a pillar of the veteran community in Rowan County, and his sacrifice and service have not gone unnoticed. Now, therefore, Sergeant Coy Thompson deserves to be recognized and honored for his dedication and patriotism to the United States of America. In witness thereof, the undersigned certifies that the foregoing statement was read in the House and placed upon the journal on the 4th day of November, 2021, submitted by Representative Warren James White, House Principal Clerk.
Adjustment to the order on House Bill 404, short title, Limited Immunity for PSA PTC for Session Law 2021-171. The order for special message to the governor is stricken, and the bill will be sent to the governor by regular message. Motion to the chair, House Bill 530, short title. Established North Carolina Textile Museum. The bill is withdrawn from the Committee on Appropriations, referred to the Committee on Local State Government, and the serial referral to Rules Counter Operations of the House remains. Of bills and resolutions, the clerk will read.
The ruling clerk reports the following bills duly ratified for presentation to the governor. Senate Bill 311, an act prohibiting membership of waiting periods for eligible employees under the local governmental employees retirement system, updating the volunteer and fire department fund matching requirements, and giving board trustees of the local government employees retirement system the discretionary authority to provide one-time pension supplements to its members. House Bill 814, an act to authorize the operation of neighborhood occupantless vehicles. And the following bills duly ratified, properly enrolled, and prepared for presentation to the Office of Secretary of State. Senate Bill 739, an act to realign the districts of the North Carolina State Senate following the return of the 2020 federal decennial census. Senate Bill 740, an act to realign the congressional districts following the return of the 2020 federal decennial census. And House Bill 2976, an act to realign North Carolina House of Representatives districts following the return of the 2020 federal decennial census.
Chapter bills will be noted.